Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing and wrapped a towel round his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." Then, "Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him. And that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ.
Let us pray. Father, we are often more comfortable being served than serving, more at ease receiving honour than giving it away. Tonight, show us what love looks like when it gets on its knees. Make us a people the world looks at and wonders. Fix our eyes on the one who loved us to the end, and give us the grace to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. The love that Jesus showed in washing his disciples' feet is not a warm example to admire. It is the shape of the new life he calls us into. There is a moment just before something that significant happens, where everything is still ordinary, like that night 2,000 years ago. The disciples were in a room around a table, the kind of scene that felt very familiar to them. There was bread on the table, conversation in the air, and a meal about to begin. But John tells us something they did not yet know. Jesus knew that his hour had come. He knew what was ahead. He knew the betrayal, the cross, the cup that he was about to drink. And in that moment, knowing all of this, Jesus got up, took off his outer robe, tied a towel around his waist, and began to wash his disciples' feet. This is not an ordinary act. This is a king kneeling. To understand what Jesus is doing in that upper room, you have to go back further. In Exodus 12, God speaks to Moses on the edge of the greatest rescue in Israel's history. A people in slavery, held down for generations, and God was about to act. We heard in Exodus 12:3, tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month, they are to take the lamb for each family. The lamb is not incidental. The lamb is everything. The blood on the doorposts, the meal eaten in haste, the night of judgment and deliverance. All of it speaks of rescue that comes through sacrifice. And God says, remember this. Observe it as a festival, a perpetual ordinance, because the night you were set free must never be forgotten. And generations later, on the very eve of Passover, as it was known, Jesus gathers with his disciples. And John tells us what this moment means. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, John tells us in that moment, Jesus got up from the table, took off his outer robe and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. In this moment, the Lamb was announcing his arrival, and the Lamb is on his knees. Peter, in that moment, does not understand it. He sees Jesus kneeling before him with a basin of water, and everything in him resists it. Lord, are you going to wash my feet? There is a hierarchy being violated here. Foot washing was the work of the lowest servant in the household. A disciple might wash their rabbi's feet, but never the other way round. And Jesus says something strange and searching. You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand. There is a now and a later in what Jesus says. Later, when the cross happened, when the resurrection has come, when the Spirit has been given, then you will understand what this kneeling meant. But Peter pushes back. You will never wash my feet. And Jesus says, unless I wash you, you have no share in me. To refuse the foot washing is to refuse the kind of saviour that Jesus is. The one who serves, the one who stoops, the one whose love does not keep a safe distance. Peter swings to another extreme. Then wash all of me. And Jesus is patient with him. You are already clean, but not all of you, because Judas is in the room. But Jesus washes his feet too. The one who is about to betray him receives the same act of love. The towel does not stop at the faithful. And then after Judas leaves to go to do what he will do, something shifts in the room. Jesus says, now the Son of Man has been glorified. The betrayal has begun. And somehow in this, glory is present. Jesus says, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you should also love one another. He does not say, love one another warmly. He says, just as I have loved you. He has just been on his knees with a towel, and he is about to go to the cross. The measure, the love that he calls us into is his own love. And that standard is something that we might not ever reach, but we must aspire to. Because he says, by this, you will know that everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The visible mark of belonging to Jesus is not a sign or a slogan or a placard. It is this, a community that loves the way that he loved. The Passover lamb in Exodus marked a doorpost with blood, and death passed over. The love of Christ marks a people, and the world looks on and knows something is real here. The love Jesus is calling us to is not a feeling to nurture in private in our own homes. It is a posture to take up in practice. Jesus does not say, feel warmly toward one another. He says, do what I did. The foot washing is a picture, not a ceremony to repeat, which we do, but a pattern to live. What does it look like to take the lower place when you could take the higher one? What does it look like to serve someone you know is going to let you down? Jesus was not performing humility. He was living from a place of deep security. He knew who he was. He knew where he was going. And that security freed him to kneel. We can only love like this when we know who we are. That we are loved, held, forgiven, and made clean in Christ. The Exodus people were freed before they had earned anything. They were rescued first and then called to remember. We are no different. The love we show is always a response to the love that we have received. I just want to take you back less than 24 hours. Tony was there at Alpha. And I was quite shocked because I learned something new about myself that I didn't know. One of the ladies said to me, and it's a personal story which I want to share. She said, you know, every time that we compliment you, you don't take like the world says, because this lady's searching for Christ. You don't do what the world says and say, thank you, that's so good. You don't do that. She says you always give the glory to God. Every time. It's true, right, Tony? That's what she said. I didn't know that. I didn't know I did that. And it touched me. Because God is working so much in my life that all I can do is give him the glory. I can only love because he loved me first. So when someone says to me, oh, you know, every time we give you a compliment, you just give God the glory. And I said, what else can I do? because he has given me so much. He has told me to love as he has loved. And that's what I do. So in everything I do, it's because he's done it first to me. But I didn't realise I was doing that. Because I can come across as quite confident. Arrogant, some people would say. But that's because I know Jesus and Jesus is in me. And it's not the arrogance. It's the confidence, as we heard in the passage. That if you know me, then act in that way. And then people will see something different. So my confidence comes from God saving me. And I know him and I love him. And this is why I act and do this. And I'm so glad she says that. I'm so glad, because it shocked me. Because I thought, wow, God, you can get through to this arrogant person that I was and totally take that away so I can give you the glory. This is what Jesus was doing. He was changing lives. We receive the Holy Spirit and our lives are changed because he loves us and he calls us to love others. And I was like, wow, praise God, praise God. So tonight, as we come to the table, we remember that that night, the Lamb knelt down. If you have never received the love of Jesus, tonight is the night to stop resisting it. Like Peter, you may not feel worthy, but you are. And he knows it. And he kneels anyway. And if you already know him and you are his, then the call is clear. Go and do likewise. Not for our glory, but for his glory. And we don't do it perfectly. We don't do it without a struggle either. But we do it genuinely. In the direction of the towel and the basin. Kneeling to serve those and to bring them to know Jesus. Amen.